As I travel through the neighborhood, it's common to come to an intersection and to see people standing at the corner asking for money. I won't lie to you, I find these moments challenging. Approaching the intersection, I hear in my head the voice of Jesus saying, "Give to everyone who asks of you." But then I have all these other thoughts. I worry, is it really safe if the light's green to stop my car and give someone money? And then I have those thoughts that I'm less proud of, but I will admit to you, my relief when I come to the intersection and it's empty. Or that impulse I'm really not proud of when I decide in this moment I'm going to drive past a person, not looking at them, not acknowledging them. It's hard. At our recent vestry meeting earlier in the month, we talked about not this, but how to respond when we encounter people living in our yard. It's not uncommon for people without homes to sleep in our yard, to sleep on the north porch of the church. Sometimes I, during the week, meet these folks. I know some of you have encountered some. And in our vestry conversation, we wondered, what do we do? How do we approach these moments? How do we respond to people who are right here in our yard who do not have homes, do not have food? Our intention is to continue to discuss this, to discern and pray about it, and we welcome others to join us in that conversation. As a society, we often render invisible those in need. There are laws passed to forbid begging on street corners in a city. Bus stops are moved so unhoused people are not visible. The Supreme Court rules that municipalities can evict encampments of unhoused people. And meanwhile, those of us who are middle class have the privilege to walk by people in need and not look at them. Now, on those times when I do actually talk to a person who is either in an intersection or is sleeping in our yard, one of the things I regularly hear is gratitude. Gratitude that they are shown respect. Gratitude that I acknowledge them, that I talk with them. With so many people rendered invisible, it is noteworthy. There is gratitude when a person is seen, is acknowledged as a person, not a category. Now, I know we cannot individually, I, you, individually, single-handedly address the challenges, these large systemic challenges confronting those in economic need, those without a home. But there are things we can do, especially corporately. But I think the first place to start is to acknowledge, to see a person before us, to look the person in the eyes, and to have eyes of compassion. Like Jesus, to see all people as God's beloved children. And the promise is Jesus stands ready to open our eyes, to heal us of the blindness of our privilege, allowing us to see people in need. Jesus is ready to open our hearts so we can help others by sharing the resources God entrusts to us, by giving from our abundance to those who do not have enough. But I also want to put this in a context. Not seeing people in need is not our problem alone, and it's not a new problem. In fact, in today's gospel, we have this timeless story. There's a poor man who people are trying to keep invisible and silent. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, who is blind, sits by the roadside, and the world is passing him by while he's asking for alms. I wonder how many walk by him, ignoring him, maybe wishing he would disappear. But when Bartimaeus hears Jesus approaching, he is not silent. He shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd sternly tell him to be quiet. They don't want him drawing attention to himself. They don't want a scene. They want him to sit at the margins, invisible and quiet. Even the disciples of Jesus, who have just heard Jesus teaching how they should welcome the least and the marginalized, do not speak up in his defense. But the more that the disciples try to silence Bartimaeus, the louder he cries. And Bartimaeus is seen by Jesus. Jesus listens to his cries. Jesus hears him call for help. And then Jesus invites Bartimaeus to come to him, and Bartimaeus springs up with enthusiasm and goes to Jesus. Bartimaeus has strong faith. He believes Jesus will have mercy on him. He believes Jesus will restore him to health, to belonging in the community. And so coming to Jesus, Bartimaeus casts off his cloak. That's noteworthy. That's probably his only possession, essential for trying to stay warm living outside. Bartimaeus is giving up the little he has to go to Jesus. And then Jesus asks Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, I don't know about you, but every time I encounter this story, that just strikes me as an odd question. Doesn't Jesus know Bartimaeus is blind? Bartimaeus is by the side of the road begging? Why doesn't Jesus just heal him, get him some food? But I think this is actually significant. Jesus offers Bartimaeus something that no one else does: the ability to answer that question. Jesus recognizes the full humanity, the full personhood of Bartimaeus. To Jesus, Bartimaeus is not a problem. He is not a beggar. He's not simply a man who cannot see. And he certainly is not invisible. To Jesus, Bartimaeus is a person to be seen, known, and talked with. Jesus sees Bartimaeus as fully human and invites Bartimaeus to express his heart's desire. And Jesus respects Bartimaeus by listening to him. And in answer to Jesus' question, Bartimaeus replies he wants his sight restored. And so Jesus heals him, saying, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately Bartimaeus is healed, but he doesn't go. He stays. He comes to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus is the only person in Mark's gospel who is not sent away by Jesus, but is actually allowed to follow. And that's what Bartimaeus wants. He wants to follow Jesus. So at first glance, we might think that this is simply a passage about a healing story, about restoration of physical sight. A blind man comes to Jesus, wants to see again. Jesus heals him. But there's much more to this story and how it functions within this part of Mark's gospel. This section of Mark opens with the account of a blind man who is healed, and it ends with this account of Bartimaeus, the blind man who is healed. But in between these two healings, we have Jesus predicting his death and resurrection in Jerusalem, and we have his disciples repeatedly failing to understand. They fail to see who Jesus is. They fail to understand his mission. They are blind. The disciples don't see Jesus. When Jesus predicts his impending passion the first time, Peter, you remember, says, "Lord, forbid it." When Jesus predicts his passion the third time, James and John, as we heard last week, ask to have the seats in glory, one on his right, one on his left. When Jesus teaches that following him means welcoming the least, the disciples want to stop people from bringing their children to Jesus to bless. When Jesus says that in his kingdom, the first will be last, and the last first, and the greatest of all will be the servant of all. Right after that, Bartimaeus is told to be quiet, don't bother Jesus. The disciples are the ones who have physical sight, and yet they fail to see. They don't understand who Jesus is, his mission. They don't grasp his call to discipleship. Bartimaeus does not have physical sight. He is blind, but he is the one who sees. He sees Jesus. He calls Jesus Son of David. He knows who Jesus is. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus has the power to heal him and has faith in that power. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is restoring all things according to God's love and justice. Because Bartimaeus, the man literally blind, is able to see who Jesus is and the promise that he brings, we are given a gift. Through Bartimaeus, we glimpse God's intention for creation. Through a man shunned and silenced by the crowd, the power of God's love to restore and heal is revealed. This image of the restoration of all of creation, of that promise of God's love in the midst of hopelessness, we hear echoed in our first lesson from the prophet Jeremiah. To people who are living in exile, people dispossessed and scattered, Jeremiah offers words of consolation and hope. Jeremiah proclaims, "Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations." Jeremiah tells the people that God will gather them from all their places of exile and will bring them home. God will restore the people. Jeremiah says, "See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest places of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor. Together, a great company, they shall return here." And in that return journey, they will travel by brooks of water. Their path will be straight, easy to walk. Their weeping will be consoled by God. As we chanted in our psalm today, those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. All the exiles will be restored, all the people brought to wholeness. Through the faith of Bartimaeus, God promises wholeness and restoration. And those promises are revealed through the faith of Bartimaeus. We see through him God's intention for creation. A man invisible to those around him is important in the revelation of God's promise. A man unable to see the world around him sees the truth of God revealed in Jesus. And so just as with Bartimaeus, this day Jesus wants to open our eyes. Open our eyes so that we can see the world with God's vision, glimpsing God's promise of a world restored, a world where no one is invisible, where no one is silenced, a world where all are welcome and valued and loved. And just as with Bartimaeus, Jesus calls us to himself. May we respond like Bartimaeus, springing up, using every fiber of our energy, every bit of our will to come to Jesus. May we give everything that we have, and we have much more than a blanket, give everything that we have, give all that we are to come to Jesus. May Jesus open our eyes and our hearts so that we see as Jesus sees and we love as Jesus loves. May the privilege that blinds our sight fall from our eyes. May we give our lives to following Jesus, always standing in solidarity with those who are silenced, invisible, voiceless, and marginalized. And through our witness to God's love, may God's justice reign, that all people are welcomed, loved, and valued. And so today, Jesus calls us to himself, calls you and calls me. Jesus looks into our eyes with love, and Jesus asks us, "What do you want me to do for you? How will you answer?"